Your proud defender of the American dream, Rick Smith.
So you may remember last night we talked a little bit about the story of the guy shaving on the train. And I got a lot of response from people saying, I can't believe people would be so mean and cruel and all down the list. And look, I can't believe you're like that either. In fact, you look at this man's situation, could be any one of us at any time, could be a loved one of ours. And you think about, just how cruel people are. Instead of, taking a video and mocking him, maybe trying to find out a little bit about him and how he got where he's at. Which is why last night we pushed the idea of, hey, if you got 5, 10, 15 bucks, throw it this way, because there was a GoFundMe account set up to try and help this guy. Which is why I've asked Jordan Yule to come talk with us. He's the guy who set up this GoFundMe account. The last I checked, it's been a while, it was like $25,000, $28,000 that they had raised for this gentleman to help him get off the streets. That's why I've asked Jordan to come talk with us. Jordan, thanks for taking time.
Rick, always happy to be with you.
So first off, good on you for taking it upon yourself to set up this account and to get involved and to try and make someone's life better. I mean, good on you.
Oh, well, I mean, I think it's nothing that anybody would have done. I might have just been the first one to do it. And it's important to remember that, like, thousands of people came together to chip in, to donate, to spread the word. Almost 1,500 donors. In 2 days, we've raised nearly $38,000 for Anthony. Yeah, it just shows that, like, I mean, as we saw, like, with the video and the response that led to this, like, social media can be a very negative and corrosive force, but it could also do a lot of good. And social media is a way that connects us all, and it can show that we have humanity and a collective consciousness.
Yeah, I think that's important to point out. I mean, we bash social media when it's ugly and negative, which, in looking at this, the comments that I was reading around the video, just toxic. And again, without thinking about, who this person was and, this person's feelings and maybe how they got where they are. When I saw the video, I felt, in the pit of my stomach, I felt, this isn't right, that they're invading this guy's privacy. But also that they're mocking a guy who's clearly struggling with some kind of, demons, health problems, whatever. But also trying to hold on to just a little bit of his humanity and a little bit of his pride by because, look, when you try and shave and you try and do those kind of things, you're trying to at least hold on to some normalcy in life. At least that's how I viewed it.
Right. Yeah, no one wants to shave on a train. Like, it just doesn't. It's not the right space. You don't have everything you need. So it was very clear, at least to me, that he was having a bad day. As we later learned, he was homeless. Through talking with his family, I learned that he got into an altercation with someone on the street earlier that morning. A physical altercation. The guy robbed him, hit him, and ruptured his eardrum. So he was having a pretty miserable day. And then somebody filmed him for doing that on the train and put it online and mocked him, led to millions of people seeing it and nasty comments being left. But then the guy who took the video tried to sell the video and the license to the video and was literally trying to profit off of making fun of a homeless guy. That really rubbed me the wrong way, just as I'm sure it would upset you and your listeners.
That's the part I didn't know. I didn't know that they tried to. There's a beating that should come that guy's way.
Well, I mean, I think we should just treat him with love, like we want to treat Anthony, the guy on the train, with love. It's just,
you're a better man than I am, Jordan.
I hope he learns from this. I think he is ashamed of what he did, and I hope he understands. But I hope other people start to see that this is not okay. Just, like, stop doing this. We don't need to be shaming strangers.
Yeah, it's one of these things that, for a number of years we had done these this event, Hungry and Homeless for the Holidays, where we as a program we lived in a parking lot for 9-10 days, and some of the worst days that I can remember. to raise, to collect food for the food bank and money for the homeless shelter, and also to interact with the homeless in our community. And, you know, I was shocked the first time I did it because, you know, I had a lot of preconceived notions, like I think most people do, that homeless people are, you know, are basically, you know, alcoholics or drug addicts or people with abuse problems. But what I found overwhelmingly was it was, you know, people who fell on hard times, had a couple of, you know, stumbles and moments of bad luck, and a lot of people with mental issues and health issues. And, you know, when I saw Anthony and I saw him, the first thing I'm thinking of, you know, here's a guy with some demons, possibly some mental, some health issues, and, you know, not somebody to be mocked. And, you know, as I tell my kids, you know, when you see a homeless person, you know, a little sympathy, because it could be me at some day. It could be you. It could be any of us. It could be anyone we love that could be in that situation.
Yeah, you're spot on. Through conversations with him and his family, I've learned that Anthony has had two strokes and has incurred brain damage as a result. So he's got cognitive impairments that, compounded with homelessness and economic disadvantage, has led to the situation he's in, possibly led to the behavior that he exhibited on the train. Like, this is there's extenuating circumstances that a casual bystander who did not think to ask, did not consider his situation, did not pick up on, and certainly the people online didn't either. So there's a reason for his behavior, and all we needed to do was just ask.
Yeah, and look, I think in changing the assumptions, because like I said, you know, when I first did our first event, my conception was, you know, these are people who are just, you know, they're lazy, they're alcoholics, they're drug addicts, you know, they're people who, and what I found was something completely different. And that, you know, that those events opened my eyes, which is why, you know, I consider myself a homeless activist, someone who wants to make sure that, you know, we as a society, as the wealthiest country in the world at our wealthiest point, that we make sure that nobody ends up in that situation. And I, when I see one of these scenarios, I go, you know, this is a failure of we the people to ensure that the least among us are at least somewhat helped and cared for.
Yeah, I think people like you and me who are on the left, we want a world where everyone is taken care of. We don't want anyone in poverty. We don't want anyone to be homeless. I'm a member of Democratic Socialists, and that's like core to our organizational message. That's the worldview we want. That's the society we want to live in. We don't want to have anyone who has to shave on the train. You know, we want to help everybody. And I think this is a good reflection of how those problems can be solved, because people came together, yeah, gave what they can relative to what they had available to them, and very quickly were able to help this guy get back on his feet. Now, if we expanded that to a larger nationwide program, and everyone gave a little bit based on what they have, we could solve a lot more situations like this. I think that this is something that we need to consider, because we can't do it piecemeal. Like, GoFundMes are great, and they show the best parts of humanity, but, like, we shouldn't have to do this. And it really, like, pains me to see people trying to pay, like, medical bills through GoFundMes. So this is, like, I wanted to help him because it makes a difference in his life, but, like, we need to start working toward a bigger, better, more robust, like, social safety net.
No, I'm right there with you. And look, you know, you said, you know, we on the left, and, you know, like, yeah, you're right. I think those of us on the left want what you pointed out, but this shouldn't be a left-right issue. I mean, you know, I know my friends on the right tell me that we're a Christian nation and they love to wear their religiosity on their sleeves. This seems like this should be a bipartisan thing or a nonpartisan thing, to where we say, you know, at least in this country, the wealthiest country in the world, we should make sure that the least among us are at least at a minimum, you know, cared for, especially those who have struggles.
Yeah, and I think that, like, the right's view that you need to, like, work for it, or there needs to be some sort of, like, means test, or in some instances, and use a way for companies to profit off of it. It just doesn't consider the unique and intersectional struggles that everybody has.
Right.
And there are some people that genuinely cannot do work, cannot function on a routine based on things that might have happened to them that they had no control over. And I think that we need a more empathetic, holistic, and understanding approach to our social safety programs that the right currently is not offering.
Now you set forth this GoFundMe account, which wildly successful for this gentleman. I understand that he's going to buy, a trailer to live in, and the funds will be administered, I guess, by a brother, right? Is that what I understand?
Yeah, I've been talking to him and his brother a lot this morning. We're probably, I think it's getting to the point now where the GoFundMe is getting large enough to the point where we probably need to establish a trust. So I'm going to line up see if we can find a pro bono attorney in his area to handle all of that kind of stuff and then disperse the funds incrementally. And then, yeah, he wants to buy a trailer, which I think is a great idea because, first of all, this just shows, like, he's not going to try to live a lavish life. And I think what people think about homeless is that they just, like, are lazy or greedy or unappreciative or any negative stereotype. But this guy just wants a roof over his head. He's not asking for too much. And because our capitalist society has so many systemic barriers to economic advancement, like, it would be a pipe dream for him, just like so many other people, to go from homeless to homeowner. So it's really cool that with this he can now get a stable, permanent residence that he doesn't have to worry about a monthly mortgage payment or rent payment. He can buy it outright. He's got a trailer, he's got a roof, and yeah, he'll be set up.
No, I mean, that's fantastic. And you know, again, you know, the sad reality is this is one person on that train, and I'm sure on that train there were other people struggling with the same kind of scenarios, the same kind of things. And in my, you know, again, my mind always goes to, you know, while it's great we've helped, you know, one person, you know, there are still all those folks out there that could be our brothers, our sisters, our parents, our loved ones, who aren't being helped, which is why, again, I come back to, you know, as a nation, through our government and collectively, there should be a push to end this stuff. And yet I'm just not seeing it politically.
Yeah, I don't see that. I mean, that is why I joined Democratic Socialist, and I don't know where you stand on that, but that they were putting forward a bold plan that I did not see from some representatives, even on the left. So that's where I went, because I know that's what they absolutely want, unapologetic defense and support of people like Anthony and like you mentioned, people on the train who weren't stoned but might have been in similar circumstances. Everybody deserves to have a reasonable standard of living, no matter what, no matter who they are, no matter where they come from. It's just period. That is, we are the richest country on earth. There's no excuse. When we have billionaires and companies reaching valuations in the trillions who pay little to no taxes, there is no excuse for homelessness.
No, I'm right there with you. And look, you know, the right would say, Jordan, you did the right thing. It's all about charity. And all the people who chipped in, it's all about charity. And on a certain level, I go, okay, that's fine. But again, your charity argument that let charity do it all has one guy on the train where the others are left behind, which is why, again, I come back to, and I'm sure you'll agree as a Democratic Socialist, that this is what we should be doing as a matter of course through our government so that no one falls through the crack. Just my thought.
Right. Absolutely. No, yeah, there's just no excuse for homelessness. I can't put it any other way. Just period. We have the money. We have the resources. And if you look at it in a medical context, we need a universal healthcare system where people aren't doing GoFundMes to pay their medical bills. No
You're
one
right.
should go bankrupt for going to the doctor. And when we have – and I think it shows the importance of shows like this when we have an independent media voice that is able to ask the tough questions, because when you have corporate media questioning the fiscal viability of a Medicare for All program, but never once questioning continual and incremental increases to military spending and historic increases now, when we already have the largest military in the world, why is that? And it just shows that, like, when you have a media system that's beholden to corporate interests and the profit motive, like that. It does a disservice to the American public. So again, it just shows the importance of shows like yours, Rick.
Yeah, I appreciate that. But you could also throw in the $25 billion they want to spend on a stupid wall, and $13 billion they want to spend on Space Force, and you know, you could go all through the insanity of what this administration, you know, the couple of $1 trillion they handed to the 1% in that tax scheme. You know, all of that stuff could have been used in much, much better ways, maybe to help folks like Anthony and others. But, you know, I was thinking about a guy just a minute ago as you were talking about, you know, the video and Anthony. One of the homeless events we had done, I rented out refrigerator boxes to people to pretend like they could play homeless for a night. And you know, we had like 20 of these boxes lined up to where for like $20 a night, you could stay in one of the boxes. And what ended up happening is very few people wanted to come and sleep out in the parking lot in the middle of July, who figured. But we ended up filling them with homeless people. Because as the one guy told me, you know, the week that, you know, the 9 days we were there was the safest that he had felt in years. And it was one of those moments where you go, wow, I hadn't really thought about it. And the one guy, his name was Joe. He had a whole litany of health problems that Medicaid helped pay to take care of. And, you know, they spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to keep him alive, only to then send him to the street with nowhere to live. And it just seemed so incredibly short-sighted that, you know, this guy who had worked his entire life, was a conservative Republican, had a heart attack, lost his job, ended up losing his home, and lost his health insurance. And all the you know how the snowball goes, and ended up homeless. And there he was, you know, had worked his whole life. We'd spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to keep him alive, only to throw him on the street.
Right. I think one of the greatest cons in American history is this idea that Republicans care about people and that you can work hard and get ahead. And if you just do the right things and play by their rules, that everything will be fine when they're actually like working against you. And I think that like it is good. It feels good to believe that, yeah, if I put my time in and I work hard and I do this and that, like, I will be fine. I will be stable. But like in this guy's situation, like so many others, life will throw you curveballs that you just cannot plan for. And, yep. and health issues is one of the biggest ones. And that system looks great on paper, but in practice, it isn't feasible because of these circumstances. When you have someone who, like in Anthony's case, has two strokes and incurs brain damage, or that guy has health issues and then he's on the street, like it's just a fine line between stability and instability in America. And because we don't have a robust universal guarantee safety net, like it leaves people destitute who did nothing wrong, like through no fault of their own, they're struggling. Yeah. And it just, like, again, like it looks good on paper, but it isn't practical and it does not work in reality.
Like I said, at any moment it could be any one of us or a loved one, and I don't think any of us want that to happen, and don't want to have to depend on charity. But, you know, Jordan, good on you and the work that you've done. I give you nothing but the best of credit. And you know, this is one of those great stories.
Well, yeah, thanks, Rick. I appreciate your support throughout. And again, like, it's really 1,500 people who came together to donate, thousands more shared it. It was a collective effort. All I did was get started. So this is like a universal effort and just shows the humanity in each and every one of us.
Yeah, again, good for you. And thanks so much for everything that you do. Good stuff, man.
Thanks, Rick.
As always, Jordan Ewell, I appreciate it. But, you know, look, I go back to it and I remember Joe. And, you know, that... You know, the participation that he had during our event, and, you know, my kids got to know him. And ultimately, the long story very short, he ended up finding a place. We ended up helping him get, you know, a place short term at the end of our event. I actually paid for a hotel for him for a week after. And then he was able to transition into veteran housing. He passed away just before Christmas that year. But still, at the end of his life, he did finally find a place to lay his head. And, you know, it's one of those stories that just, I'll tell you, it's something that I won't forget. You know, just is what it is. I'm going to take a quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. My friend, and the kids locked in the Capitol are fighting till the end. And we're not going to break tonight, and we're not going to bend. Some say the union's down, but I asked around, and everybody said, this is a union town, a union town, all down the line. This is a union town, all down the line. And if they come to strip our rights away, we'll give them hell every time. This is a union town, all down the line. Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg.